today, but I've got it. Our text today is from Luke chapter 6. I'll be reading from verse 43 through 49. You can find that on page 65 in your pew Bibles. And if you would stand for the gospel lesson, I would appreciate that. We read here from Luke 6, 43, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Now, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood rose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. You know, the Bible says that confession is good for the soul. And as we're about to enter into the season of Lent, which is a season of self-introspection and confession and repentance, I thought it'd be good to talk about confession today. And I know some of you are thinking, uh-oh, what are you going to have me confess? Well, it's kind of simple. How many, raise your hand if any of you have in your home or apartment or condo, wherever you live, a place where you keep all the stuff, all the junk you don't know what to do with, like a junk drawer, a junk closet, a junk bed underneath the bed. Okay, you're Pentecostal today, Stephen? Yeah, I think we can all confess to that, right? True confessions. I did a little searching of my junk drawer this week and thinking about this, and I found some interesting things. For example, I found this in my junk drawer. You know what this is? This connects a VCR to a table, TV. Now, talk about outdated technology. The HDMI cable has so blown this out of the water that this is like useless now. I mean, who even has VCRs anymore? But as I was looking through my junk, I see that hand back there. some of us do. I was checking out this drawer. I have not one, not two, not three, but four of these useless cables. Okay, you're getting the elbow there, I see. Yeah, wives with those pointy elbows. Why am I keeping this? Why? You never know, I don't know why I'm keeping it, really. Then I looked, and speaking of VCRs, I found a VHS tape that I have. A VHS tape. And I'm looking at this, and I can't figure. I think this VHS is like 20 years old. This is a sermon that I had filmed of me when I was trying to send my stuff to a pulpit committee to check me out. And I'm looking at this like, why do I still have this? For one thing, I'm not thinking about doing that. And secondly, if I were and I sent them this, they would think, what kind of technological Luddite is this guy, right? I mean, does he even know there's like internet, digital? Why am I keeping this? I don't know. And then I've got a whole library of books. This is a Luke commentary that I actually used for this sermon, sort of. This is one of 19 volumes of this new international commentary series, very good series. But here's the problem. I have this book and the entire library, plus hundreds of other reference books right here in my Olive Tree app that I can access anywhere, on vacation, I'm away from the island. I've got a whole library with me all the time. This whole book and 100 other books. Why am I keeping this book? I don't know. Finally, I found this little tennis ball. This little tennis ball was from a major tennis tournament. And as you can see, there's a signature signed by a major tennis pro. But here's the problem. I don't remember who signed it. And the signature is so messed up, I can't identify who what. So why do I keep this? I don't know. Maybe I'll figure it out someday. I doubt it. I know it wasn't Roger Federer. I know that. And I know it wasn't Rafa. I know that. But point is, this is indicative of the fact that the average American has way too much stuff, too much junk, right? And we don't know what to do with it. So we cram it in a drawer, we cram it in a closet, we stuff it under the bed, right? And in fact, some of us even rent out little spaces in warehouses, don't we? In fact, do you know that the self-storage industry in America is a $38 billion business? That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of junk. Now, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus doesn't talk about things in our junk drawers. Instead, he talks about things that we store away in the treasuries of our hearts and our minds, right? Namely, our beliefs, our prejudices, our attitudes, our habits, our grudges, our emotions. But he doesn't speak of them as junk. Instead, he changes the metaphor here, and he actually speaks of them as sort of like a root of a tree, right? And he talks about roots and fruits. He talks about that which we store in our hearts eventually comes out of our mouths. That which we store in our minds eventually comes out in our lives, right? Make sense? And so that's the first thing we need to see here today, and that is that every person's life bears the fruit of what lies at the root of their lives. Let me say that again. Every person's life bears the fruit of what lies at the root of their lives. Jesus makes that clear, that if a tree has good roots, it's got good fruit. If it's got bad roots, it produces bad fruit. And in fact, he says, by their fruits, you will know them, right? And that's not only true of fruit trees, but that's also true of human beings. But of course, sometimes human beings, like false prophets, can look good and they can even sound good, but they aren't good. In fact, Jesus compares them to what? He compares them to sheep or wolves that are in sheep's clothing. Or he compares them to whitened sepulchres, which look spotless and clean on the outside, but inside they're putrid and dying and dead. Right? But the one thing that reveals what people are really made of and what ideals they're really living by is what? Stress, trouble, pressure, temptation. Adversity, right? Isn't that when the real you comes out? What you've really been storing down there bubbles up? For example, if you were to decide to go to one of these canine rescue places, decided you're finally going to get a dog, you're going to bring this creature into your house with your kids, with your family, with your friends and your visitors, you're going to want to make sure that this dog has a good disposition. You don't want to bring a dog in that's going to bite people, bite you, bite the postman. In fact, did you see this video last week of this postman who got mauled by a dog? Some guy's beating the dog. He won't let him go. I mean, it was terrible. So you don't want a dog like that. You want to figure out, does this dog have a good disposition or a bad disposition? Well, according to writer Susan Matisse, she went to a dog workshop. And the person who was in charge said that you can discern what your dog's disposition is going to be like through a simple test. Act like you're in pain. Act like maybe like, you had a heart attack and fall on the floor. And if the dog is a bad dog, it'll come up and actually bite you or nibble at you. And if it's a good dog, it will be concerned and might even lick you. So she decided to try this with her two dogs. They were watching TV, she was eating pizza, and so she got this idea in her head, so she stood up and she grabbed her heart, she went, oh, oh,
Oh, and she collapses like she's having a heart attack, and oh, she's crying in pain. And the dogs, you know what the dogs do? They look at her, and they look at each other, and then they go and eat the pizza. Well, I said that wasn't really a fair test. The results are skewed by the pizza, right? Maybe it would have been a more accurate test, you know, if it didn't have that. But oftentimes, it's the circumstances of temptation and adversity and stress and trouble that reveal what's really in our hearts, isn't it? That's what brings it out. It's what comes out in times of stress that really reveals what's hiding in the recesses and the junk drawers of our hearts. That's what Jesus is alluding to here when he's talking about the two builders of the two houses. And they both get hit by the same storm. They both get hit by the same flood. But there are two very different results. One stands and one collapses. What's the difference between the two houses? Is it the roof? Is it the color of the house? Is it the appearance of the house? Is it the curb appeal of the house? No, what's the difference? The foundation, that which lies below the surface, determines the results, right? And thus, roots produce fruits, don't they? I think we saw that here on the island after Maria. We had the same storm, the same problem that affected everybody here, but we got different results, didn't we? I mean, some people responded with calm, coolness, compassion, consistency. Other people responded with looting, lawlessness, or just lethargy, indifference. Same storm, different results. What was the deciding factor? What lies at the root of our being, right? That's the second thing we need to see here. Namely, when you and I store up in our hearts, whatever we store up in our hearts determines the fruit of our lips, as well as the fruit of our lives, right? Someone said that we ought to think of our heart as having two compartments. One is a savings deposit, and one, excuse the crudity, is a toilet. And there are certain things that we store up in our savings deposit, and there are certain things that we ought to flush down the drain. But we've got to decide. Do we store up the Word of God, or do we have some indifference to it? Or do we store up the snide remark of our sister or our brother, or do we flush it? Let it go. What are we holding on to? What are we storing up? What are we treasuring? What are we letting go? That's a good question, isn't it? That's important. That's something that we have to duly observe. In fact, the Apostle Paul was dealing with some disputes in a church in Philippi, and he gave them some good advice in dealing with that. He said this in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovable, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think about those things. Fix your mind on those things. Store up those things. Put those in your savings deposit." Dean, what materials are you using, collecting, and implementing to build the edifice of your lives? That's a good question, isn't it? Because one day, the answer will be revealed when that edifice is tested by the fires of God's judgment. And what we do for Him will stand, and what we do for ourselves will do what? Be destroyed. Collapse. Cease to exist. As I've said it before, I'll say it again. We can't sow our wild oats all throughout our lives and then just pray for a crop failure. That's not how it works. What we sow, we will reap, right? Or it's like that classic story. You may have heard it. It's about a builder
who's a developer. And he's got an assistant who's been working for him for years, and he says to his assistant, "Look, I'm ready to retire. I'm going to go off and I'm going to do some hunting. I'll be gone for a couple of months. I want you to build a house while I'm gone. I want it to be an excellent house." So he takes off. And his assistant says, "Here this guy is. He's going to leave me high and dry. I'm going to be stuck. He's going to be off somewhere, living retirement, living large, and I'm going to be with nothing." So in his anger, he hired the worst construction manager he could find. And he bought the cheapest materials he could locate. And he cut every corner possible in the construction process. And even though the edifice looked good, it was a piece of junk. And the owner comes back and he looks at it and he looks at his assistant and he says, "I've got a surprise for you." And his assistant says, "What's the surprise?" He says, "This house is not for me. It's for you. It's your retirement house so that you're well cared for." Oh, whoa, busted. What a great parable of life. God is giving you and me all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of materials, all kinds of gifts, all kinds of resources. And the house that we're building is our lives. And he's going to come back and say, "Let's check it out. How well have you built?" And it's going to be tested. What's going to last? What's going to collapse? What's going to be destroyed? Like wood, hay, and stubble. Something to think about. Right? So what are we serving today? Are we serving God or mammon? Are we serving His kingdom or our kingdom? Are we investing in eternity? Are we burning our resources up just for today? The end result will either be an edifice of glory or an embarrassment of terrible decisions. But remember, God is not mocked. What we sow, we will reap. And that principle can either be good news for you and me, or that can be very sad news and very bad news for you and me. So again, I ask you, how are you building the masterpiece of your life? What is it that you and I need to repent of today if we're not? Think about that. Now, in closing, I'll leave you with a true story that I read. It seems in Muslim countries, those who handle the garbage of the society, refuge, are the sort of the undesirables, the marginal people, including Christians. True story, there was a Christian garbage man who was dealing with the garbage, and suddenly he saw there in the midst of the garbage a treasure. He saw an $11,000 watch. This is several years ago, so we're talking $20,000, $30,000 watch. And he pulls it out of the garbage. And lo and behold, on the back is inscribed the name of the owner. So he has a little moral crisis here. I mean, this watch is equivalent to many years of his income. This watch represents a complete economic change in his life. This watch represents economic security for him and his family. But he's a believer. And he knows it's not his watch, and he knows it's owned by somebody else. And so he takes the name and he searches the name and discovers it's owned by a very wealthy businessman who's a Muslim. And so he takes the watch to the man and he says, "Look, I found this watch in the garbage." And the businessman is just blown away. He is ecstatic and he is humbled.
And he is later interviewed by a reporter. And he says to the reporter, you know, being a Muslim, I never considered Christ as anything but a man. Never considered him as a savior. Never considered him for the claims that the Christians make. But when this Christian man did this act and brought this watch to me, I realized that there's something real to this claim, and I started to think about Jesus, and in time, I came to believe in Jesus. Amen. And my wife came to believe in Jesus. And they got active in church and were eventually ordained in the Coptic church and started a ministry to the poor of Cairo. Isn't that an amazing story? Wow. Now, the Christian garbage collector's eternal impact obviously wasn't based on a one-and-done decision. Instead, that decision that he made to turn that watch over was the result of a whole flow, a whole series of decisions that he made his entire life to choose between integrity or sleaziness, to choose between God or himself, to choose between doing the right thing or the wrong thing. That prepared him for this biggest test, perhaps, of his moral life. And he made the right choice because he was building a foundation of integrity. He stood the test. Will we stand the test someday as well? That's the question. So the question is not whether or not we're going to bear fruit. We are going to bear fruit. That is inescapable. That's inevitable. The question is, what kind of fruit are you and I going to bear? Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to do what? To bear fruit. And what kind of fruit? Fruit that's going to last for eternity. That's our calling. May we hear his voice. May we respond to his calling. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are every day, almost every minute, confronted with decisions that we have to make. Moral decisions. Some of them seemingly inconsequential, others monumental. Lord, we know that we need to walk with you. We know that we need to establish a foundation in you. For we know that we will be tested if we haven't been already and are not being tested right now. And the difference is going to be whether we're building our lives on you and your eternal principles or building our lives on the shifting sands of this world. Lord, let us be fixated on you, built upon you, established in you, in your love, your mercy, your grace, your power, and your righteousness. Thank you that we can do so because of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.